In Salvation practice,
yes,
in Christianity, what do you observe that thing that I am believing that I'm son of God, so I don't need to ask from anyone. If you need something, I'll go directly to my father's, right? If something, think that I need food, so I'll not ask the other person. I'll ask for the food from my father. The father, I need food. So my thinking is that why we ask other people to pray for us?
Good question. And
second thing is,
yes,
second thing is that if we believe that I belong to Jesus Christ, I am a son of Most High God, so no one can damage me, no one can harm me, no one can curse me, so why sometimes we became afraid of others, people, all those things?
Okay. Yeah, so I think those are two good questions you've asked, and I believe God will give us the grace to answer it, because, you know, the thing is, I want us to, maybe let's just read the Bible and just go to John chapter 14, and I want us to look at John chapter 14, it's from verse 1, we'll read up to verse 14. And it says that, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Now Philip asked, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Verse 9 of John 14. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things or greater works than this, because I am going to the Father. And who is Jesus saying? I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Then I want us to continue, just maybe just up to 21. It says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Now, we've been learning that God has revealed himself through the Son in these last days. In the past, God spoke to the fathers in various ways, in diverse manners, in that God used several ways to reach people. And all these are shadows, types, and patterns. You understand? So, God spoke through Moses through the burning bush, an angel through the burning bush. God spoke through Abraham, he called him. God spoke through Isaac. God spoke through Jacob, he changed his name. God worked through Joseph. You know, Joseph is a shadow, is a type of Christ, is a pattern of Christ. And, I mean, you can see how God spoke to him through dreams, through... And God will reveal to him the purpose. God spoke through Daniel. God spoke through the scriptures. God has been speaking and speaking and speaking in past times. Even when Jesus was with his disciples, he taught them using parables. But then when they were alone, he explained it clearly. And all these are past times. And I feel that I was really enjoying the Old Testament and loving it. But I feel that it's... We also need to also grasp some aspects of sonship, because I think I introduced the concept, or rather the teaching, that God wants us to understand Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it will be important that we actually fully comprehend it. And based on that, then we will be able to be effective as the new creation in our various areas of influence, because your work is a ministry to the Lord. What you do as a doctor, what you do as a procurement specialist, what you do as a missionary is a ministry to the Lord. You must understand that whatsoever your hands find to do, whether in doing, you know, do it as unto the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, whenever, I think you've heard this statement that my life, worship is a lifestyle. Or rather, your whole life is a worship. You should offer up your life, your entire body, your entire being, everything that you do as a worship unto God. And anyone who recognizes that even as they work as a doctor, as they work as a nurse, they are actually doing the work of a pastor, they are doing the work of an apostle, they are doing the work of a prophet, they are in their sphere of influence, they are representing Christ, they are actually fulfilling the ministry, and they are actually serving God in that, will have the true awareness of what God expects of us, that the apostles, the pastors, the prophets are to teach and to prepare the saints for works of service, for works of ministry, so that the church is built up to maturity and to the perfect man. And what I've been saying is that the barrier between the fivefold and the body of Christ is being broken, and God wants it to break. The fivefold have built a separation. But that was not the desire of God. The desire of God is not a separation between the pastors, the apostles, the prophets. God gave them as gifts to help us build the church, that we get to maturity. And maybe we can just look at that, Ephesians chapter 4, so that I can actually just quote it rightly. Yeah? And maybe I'll start going slowly again, because I think when I also go fast, I feel like I need to complete the revelation. But let's go slowly. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Maybe I can start from verse 7. But to each one of us, Ephesians chapter 4, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he mean he ascended, except that he also descended to the lowly earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So we are talking about the position of Christ now. He died, but now as he resurrected, as he ascended on high, what he did is that he gave gifts to men, or rather he gave gifts of men. And these are the apostles, the prophets, and apart from him going to sit at the right hand of the Father, as he ascended, he filled the whole universe. That is another topic that you can dig in. And that's why we say that Christ is the heir of all things. By him all things were made, all things in heaven and on earth. Everything was reconciled to God. Then, verse 11, it was he that gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Okay, that's why some people say they are fourfold ministry, others say they are fivefold, because others group pastors and teachers together as one ministry. Others see them as separate ministries. But, comma, verse 12, what was the purpose? Why did God give apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists? One, to prepare God's people for works of service. Let's just stop at that comma. To prepare God's people for works of service, for works of ministry. Maybe we can, let me see if I can parallelly open King James, so that we can enjoy some of that old English. It says, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Let me just stop at that. Okay. One, for the perfecting of the saints. Let's look at King James. At the same time, we're looking at this. Perfecting of the saints. That means that as saints, there's a work of perfection that Christ is still working in us. Okay, the reason why you're asking those questions, I mean, you ask two valid questions. Why should people pray for us? Why should we go to someone to pray for us? We could pray directly to the Father. That's a good question. The other question you've asked, if I've forgotten, maybe just, what was the second question quickly? If you can remind me. We don't need, okay, anyway, maybe if you remember, you'll let me know. I will be answering this now.
Sorry, I was having problem with my phone. Okay.
Okay, no problem.
My second question is that is this something that if we are believing that we belong to the Jesus Christ,
yes,
the Son of Most High God, so
yes,
why we are caring about others that other can help me?
Okay, fear. Okay, fear, me. Fear. I get you. Why do we fear of danger and what can be done to us? Right. Yeah, so, okay, good. I think maybe if I don't answer the second question, we'll answer it tomorrow, but I'm just seeing the time. But what I can say is, but I'll try and dig into that. Perfecting of the saints. The apostles, the fivefold, are a gift of God to the body. They are a gift of God to the saints. They actually, God is the one that chose. It is him that gave. He actually called specific individuals and gave them this ordination, that these ones, they have a specific job, and their job description is very clear. One is perfecting the saints. That means that the work that you are receiving now, like what you're receiving now, just not to point at myself, what we are receiving now from God is a perfection through the word. We are refining our mind. We are being transformed in our mind. Actually, the word repentance is not necessarily a change of behavior or character, but it is a change of mind. It is, we are being transformed into the mindset of Christ, into the mind of Christ. We are being transformed into the thinking that we are sons of God, that we are not orphans. Remember what we read in John 14, that God said, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. That means that anyone who does not know a father, anyone who does not know the love of God as a father, is actually an orphan. You might be a Christian for 30 years, but if you don't, if you have not experienced the love of God as a father, that you know as a child you can just run to your father, you might actually still be an orphan. But anyone who has come to the understanding that they have a father, that means they don't need an intermediary to pray for them. You don't need anyone who has the full understanding of faith in the Son of God, faith in Jesus, faith in the revelation of God that through His Son, that we are in Christ. We are the firstborn of God in Christ. When we are saved, we are in Christ. We are seated in Christ. We are seated in heaven, in heavenly places, at the right hand of the Father in Christ. I always remember it, in Christ. Never forget that interjection. It is not on our own capacity. It is not on our own wisdom. It is not on our own ability. Our righteousness is of Christ, in Christ. Our deliverance is in Christ. Our faith is in Christ. Now, as long as we remember where we are positionally in Christ, then we know that we know we can talk to God directly. You don't need to talk through your elder brother or your elder sister to get to your father. I know maybe we might have had difficult parents, eh? And so some people will go through the mother first. But that is an earthly thinking. You understand me?
Yeah.
It is an earthly thinking that we have to go through, sadly to say, through Mary. Because that is what many Christians believe. 80% of the Christian faith believe they have to go through Mary. Which is not what God says. He just said, ask the Father in my name. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. Just look at the context. It is now the reason why the pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles God has given is to perfect the saints, is to perfect you in the faith. Anyway, I don't want to say some statements because, but anyway, let me say it. Apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers lost their work. They forgot their work, which is to perfect the saints, and they started building their own kingdoms, their own dynasties, their own earthly kingdoms where men worship them, where men give everything to them, where they enjoy the blessings, you know, they enjoy the wealth, they enjoy everything. Where they control everything, where people must follow them. Now that is a system of men. And maybe God allowed it for a time. It was a pattern. It's a pattern, it's a shadow, it's not the reality. The reality is that God wants us to have direct access to Him. Now the reason He gives us these leaders is so that they can teach us the faith. They can grow us in our understanding. They can perfect the saints. And the reason they pray for us is because God has given them also special graces, special understanding. It is not unique to you. It is the same anointing that they have, is the same spirit that you have. It's only that you don't know it. Their job is to actually to bring you to the level, to their level. And that's why you see, I'm trying to teach you to have the same mindset that I have, to have the same understanding that I have. And this is the same understanding that Paul had, that he said, I pray that God, that the eyes of your understanding may be opened, that you might know the glorious riches that are in Christ, that is available for you. Because the day your eyes are open, you will ask these questions. And you will ask, why do I need to fear when I have Christ, I carry God in me? And that is the same thing that Jesus knew. And that's why he said, unless I lay down my life, I am the one who lays down my life. It is not, they did not kill Jesus because they had, it's, in fact, in the cross he said, he has the ability to call angels, legions of angels, to ask the Father, and he will send, and he will have been rescued from that. But he laid down his life willingly. And that tells you that anything that happens to us is because we have allowed it. Either through our unbelief, through our fear, because anything that is not done in faith is sin. There's a definition of sin, that what is not of faith is sin. That means that the moment we move away from this faith that God is teaching us, and we are receiving it and we are accepting it, then we are living lower than what God expects of us. We are missing the mark. And we're living short of the glory of God that God expects us to live. So, when you know you carry God in you, and you are in God, you carry Christ is in you, and you are in Christ, Jesus is in you, and you are in Jesus. This is the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery that has been hidden from generations and has been revealed by the Spirit to the apostles. They have laid the foundation, but this barrier needs to be broken. And when this barrier is broken, the apostles, the fivefold, will humble themselves to know that they were given a trust to build the body to the perfect man, to be perfected like them. The same way they have an understanding of perfection, that is the same understanding of perfection that the body of Christ must have. And it is not to make everyone an apostle. It is to make everyone a fully fledged son of God, kingdom agent in whatever sphere of influence that they do, be it a teacher, be it a mother, even if you are a stay-at-home mother, and you have the understanding that you are a son of God, and you know that the portion that God has given you is to effectively raise these children that God has given you in the fear and knowledge of God, then you will be thankful and grateful, and you will be giving thanks to God and giving glory to God that you are faithful in the thing that God has asked you to do. And you will not be striving and saying, why am I not a working class woman? Because your work, the work of your ministry, is the raising of children. So what, as a son, when you come to the full understanding of your faith in Christ, is you will now start, God will now start bringing to your understanding what is your work of ministry that he has asked you to, he has called you to do, he has actually preordained for you to do. He prepared in advance these good works for you to do. And that is why you are unique as Yemin, you're unique as Tabu, you're unique as Geoffrey, you're unique as my listener. There is no single doctor that is the same. They may have been trained as in the same profession, they may have been trained, they have been trained in the same, you know, specialization, but each of them carry unique diversities and graces. Likewise, in the body of Christ, there are groupings of ministries, but every minister is unique. The grace I have as Emmanuel is unique to me. Yes, there might be someone else doing what I'm doing, but I don't think you will find someone who is exactly like me in everything that I do. The same way you'll not find, out of the 8 billion people on earth, there is no one who is like you. Now, when you appreciate that, then you will realize that as a son of God, you are effectively serving God in the ministry and in the allocation that God has given you, in the place where God has placed you, especially if you are in the perfect will of God, in the place where God has placed you, you will be at peace, you will not be restless, you will be fulfilling the plans and purposes that God prepared before time for your life. Anytime we are outside of God's will, where we take ourselves to the land we choose, not the land He will show us, is when we find ourselves struggling and facing so much commotion, until we plead for mercy, that's when God can show us mercy. But let me assure you, when you're loved of God, when you're assured of God, when you're assured of your place in God, there's nothing to fear. Fear is not of God. You did not receive a spirit of fear. 1 Timothy 4:1-12. You did not receive a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Know what God has given you. And I tell you, this is the time for you to open the Bible again and understand it for yourself. And that's why the Bible says the Bereans were of noble birth, because they heard what Paul preached, but they later on and went and searched the scriptures for themselves, and they believed it. And they believed it. You have a responsibility, and I'm giving you the responsibility. Don't take what I'm saying as face value. Please open the Bible, search it for yourself. If you don't know where the verse is, I told you, Google. You have Google. Google is your friend. The internet is there. Just search. Type the verse I've mentioned. Where does it say I'm a new creation? It will give you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Read, what does that mean? Where does it say Christ in us, the hope of glory? You will find it. Read it. Write it down in your notebook. Now, these are the verses. These are the message that we are to meditate on. That means that you, during the day, you contemplate, you ask these questions. Then God will bring another verse to you that connects as an answer to that. And if He does not give you that verse in the teaching that I will be doing, you will be free to ask a question so that you can have an answer to that. And I believe by the grace of God, He will give me the understanding to answer it according to His will. And where I fail, I pray that God will remove, will help me, that I will not have any humanity in me, or rather, my flesh shall not stand in the way that will prevent you from knowing the truth. But my purpose is, and my joy is, if you're effectively serving God in the ministry that God has called you to do, because that is the job of the apostles, prophets, and pastors. And I was just discussing earlier this morning with a brother, and what we were laughing at is that the understanding of church, the church that Jesus was building, was not a physical church. It was not four walls. Whenever two or three are gathered in His name, He's right there in their midst. This, what we are having now this morning, is a bigger church than any other church. There's no other better definition of a church than what we are doing. Meeting and talking about Christ. Two or three are gathered in His name. He's right there in their midst. I want you to have that understanding. Let me stop there. So pastors can pray for you because they have not a better understanding. They're given by God to perfect your faith. And when you don't have faith, you can latch on their faith. And through their faith, you can receive your healing. But the best pastor, teacher, apostle is the one who teaches you that actually the same Christ, the same Spirit of Christ, you can do the same for yourself. So teaches you how to fish rather than giving you fish every day. Yeah. That's what I wanted. Maybe that will answer you. So any response, you can go ahead.
It's fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel. I don't have any follow-up questions this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
We thank God. The man representing the biggest people in Africa. Are you there? The nation of Nigeria. Nigeria is asked to talk, though.
Just one move for my better understanding. Do you have to join from Bangladesh or any other country? From where do you have to join?
Well, let's talk later on that.
Okay.
We're online. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you've given the background of what is the answer is majorly. The whole thing is that what God has called us is a fellowship, and in fellowship, God has given to each and every one of us different responsibilities. And in those different responsibilities, just like you have explained in Ephesians, just as we are one body with different parts, so it is in the work of the Spirit. You have a hand, the leg is there, it's your own body, but yet your heart desires to go to one place, but it is your leg that takes you there. And none of the part of the body is irrelevant.
Mm.
But yet they work together to achieve the same purpose.
Yeah.
So when in the course of the fellowship, whether as a pastor, whether as a teacher, whether as a brother, or whether anything, God has given the gift of intercession. God has given the gift of faith. God has given the gift of prayer. That you don't have that gift, but somebody else has been deposited with that gift. And I've seen that person to use that gift that God has given to him is not outside. It's not showing that you cannot pray, but that God has given you that gift and you are in the same fellowship asking the person to use that same gift God has given to him for the betterment of the body, the fellowship. It means that that does not mean that you cannot go to God to the Father directly, but God has given somebody that capacity more than you, and thereby it's achieving the same purpose for both of you and for myself and for the body of Christ.
Amen.
And moreover, above all things, that God's name
is glorified. Amen.
The result of the whole thing, that his name be glorified in that situation. So that's my contribution.
Amen. Thank you, Geoffrey. That's a powerful addition. We are all one body, and each body has a unique grace. And if someone has a grace for jobs, go and ask him to pray for you. Maybe there's something that he has, that he knows something. He knows maybe how to work on his CV. Ask him. Someone is healing easily. Go and ask him. Okay, I'm unwell. Heal me. But it doesn't mean that God cannot do it directly for you. If you find someone is teaching the word and helping you understand, go and sit under their ministry. It doesn't mean that you worship them, but you honor the fellowship, you honor the body. Joint supplies joint, bone to bone. Everything flows as God calls it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your grace. I would not take it for granted. And Father, I thank you for my listener. Thank you for the word that has been deposited in them. The Lord, even as they search it out, that Lord, it shall bear fruit. The word is a seed, and I rebuke every devourer of the word, every cares and worries of this world, every thorns, every birds that steal the word. We come against them in the name of Jesus. And Father, this morning, I rebuke sickness. I rebuke cough. I rebuke flus. I rebuke neck pains. I rebuke any works of the devil, anything that does not align in our bodies to health that you have called us to divine health. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And my listener, any that is unwell, receive your healing now in Jesus' name. Tumors disappear, cancers disappear, brokenness be made whole. God, you are the healer. Thank you that you've called us to also the ministry of healing, and healing is by your word. And we send forth your word and heal every disease. Even as we go, bless the work of our hands and keep us in your hand and in your power. Bless every ministry that shall meet together to praise and worship and fellowship together, that the word shall come forth in power. May your servants be anointed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Have a good day.
Thank you.